Up next is Lolis Eric Eli, who's a founding member of the Southern Foodways Alliance. Lolis is a columnist for the Times-Picayune in New Orleans, and also is the author of a wonderful book called Smokestack Lightning, Adventures in the Heart of Barbecue Country. Did I get the subtitle right? It's, to my mind, the best book about barbecue culture that has ever been written. Lolis is up to present an award, and later this evening, y'all will reap the benefits of that reward, and Lolis will explain a bit about that.
Good afternoon. About 7 years ago, I was talking to Frank Stewart, a photographer and a good friend of mine. We came up with the idea of doing Smokestack Lightning. And we figured we'd have to write a sample chapter of the book to try to get some publisher interested in it. And Frank spent half of his growing up years in Memphis, so he figured we would start in Memphis. And on our very first evening, arriving in Memphis after taking a long drive from New Orleans, we went to a place called Hawkins Grill. And we had a shoulder sandwich there. And what I didn't know then was that it would be the best shoulder sandwich I would ever eat, or that man would prepare the best shoulder sandwiches I would ever eat. I pronounced him then the Stradivarius of the shoulder sandwich, and it's an assessment I stand by to this day. After the book was published, I got a call from some guys in California. They wanted to do a documentary on the barbecue book. And so we talked about a dozen places around the country that would sort of exemplify the various trends and various historical components of what makes barbecue what it is. So we went on a scouting trip to all the places I'd suggested and some they came up with. And then a year later, we went out and actually shot all of these places. So we got together in California to look at the tapes, what we had, and sort of talk about what we'd been through. The thing we kept coming back to was that the best shoulder sandwich we'd had in all those places was the ones prepared by J.C. Hardaway. In what has got to be one of the most amazing moments in food history, somebody bought Hawkins Grill not long after the book came out. They fired J.C. Hardaway and decided they were going to cook themselves. Now, I'm trying to imagine, you know, how you do that. You know, I mean, you buy the Chicago Bulls and you fire Michael Jordan. You know, it's just amazing. But last year at the SFA conference, it was a wonderful event that I remember very fondly, but one of the best moments of it for me was leaving here, driving back to Memphis with Jessica Harris and Dr. Kimberly Nettles. And we had just enough time between our flight and our arrival to stop by the Big S Grill, which is where J.C. cooks now. And so much of what this organization is about is sharing experience and talking about all them places that everybody else don't know about that you can go and check out and still get that stuff like they used to make when you were growing up. And they confirm the opinions of all the other people who've eaten at the Big S Grill that J.C. Hardaway is truly a special individual. And Jessica came up with the idea then that we should come up with an award, or we should award J.C. Hardaway for his years of toiling in the vineyard. And it's appropriate that we award this to him because he embodies so much of what this organization is about. In a lot of ways, the whole notion of having a Southern Foodways Alliance is a realization of the fact that the people who've made determinations about food in this country previously haven't necessarily given us our fair shake. They were so busy looking toward Europe for their standards that they didn't realize that the standards were being set here. With someone like J.C. Hardaway, it's interesting because neither Hawkins nor the Big S Grill is a particularly large place. And you can go to Memphis and folks will tell you about all kinds of barbecue places that you should go to, most of which should be avoided. But the standard of what's good at the Big S Grill is determined for the most part by the people in that neighborhood in Memphis. And it ain't a whole lot of folks running out there from other places. And it's not as if J.C. Hardaway has to check with some food writer to figure out whether or not what he's doing is correct. It's the opposite. The food writers need to check out with him to see whether or not these other places they're going to are correct. And the idea of setting our own standards is so much embodied by what he's about. And also the whole notion of toiling in relative obscurity. The fact that quality should not be determined by how many people come through the door, how much they pay, and it should be determined by a certain pride in what you're doing. and a certain respect for tradition, a certain willingness to adhere to that tradition, no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard the work is. When Jessica and I talked about the possibility of awarding this to JC, she had one condition, and that was that JC not be made to cook. In a lot of ways, we got a strange thing we got to deal with in this organization, because it's about food. And much of what we do is introduce folks to people who prepare food. And to invite them here as honored guests, but then have them cook, there's a contradiction there. Because in some ways, the man who's done as many great things as he's done and embodied what we're about in so many ways, should be able to come and have the red carpet rolled out for him. But in a lot of ways, his food is really the best expression of himself. And for me to just tell you about this man and about what his character is like and what he's meant to me, not only in terms of what he's put on the plate, but the kind of generosity that he exemplifies and the warmth that you get when you walk in there and how you always ask how you're doing, ask about your family and all the rest of that type of stuff that we so value in this organization. To have that without the food would not quite be the complete picture. Certainly, what he does with a shoulder sandwich says more about him than I could say about him. And perhaps it says more about him than even he could say about himself. So it's an honor, it's a pleasure, it's a privilege, it's a wonderful thing to be able to present the Keeper of the Flame Award to Mr. J.C. Hardaway. JC has to say about himself will be said in about 3 hours when we next convene for a meal. Thank you.
Okay, so we're not far off time. We ended up 15 minutes late. We next convene at 6 o'clock. Am I right? That sound right? 6 o'clock at Off Square Books. You have a map in your packets, and there are also additional copies of the maps on the front desk of the registration to show you how to get to Amadel, which is where Mr. Hardaway is cooking barbecue. The best thing you can do, Off Square Books is just off the square on Van Buren Avenue. Ask anybody, just go to the square, park your car on the square somewhere nearby, and then walk up to Amadel, which is two blocks, or really one long block north. You've got a map. No need to get in your car, especially if you're going to be drinking a little something. So enjoy. We'll have a tasting of wine and of whiskey, sponsored by Southern Comfort this afternoon. And then we'll go to Amadel and go in the backyard. You'll see a big tent in the back. We're in someone's home. We're in someone's actual backyard, our friend Dorothy Lee Tatum. So I ask you to do two things. If you happen to smoke, please don't throw your butts on the ground. Please put them in a receptacle. Dorothy Lee had a wedding reception there not long ago, and she's still picking up cigarette butts. So if you would do me that favor, please don't throw cigarette butts on the ground in her home. And also, the grounds are open to you. The house is lovely, but Dorothy Lee won't be offering tours of her home, so just enjoy the grounds. I feel like I'm putting all these qualifications. It'll be real laid back. Don't worry about it. We'll see you in a little while. Up next on the stage will be Jessica Harris. You've probably gotten to know Jessica if you didn't already know her over the course of the symposium. Jessica is a good friend of the Southern Foodways Alliance, one of the founding members of the Southern Foodways Alliance, a wonderful scholar on the foods of the African diaspora, and a strong counsel in putting together this weekend. Jessica was one of the programming committee folk who helped us decide who should show up this weekend, who should be here, who should be standing on the stage. And I thank Jessica for her contributions, and here we go.
Well, I'm going to be hopefully mercifully brief. This has been much, much more difficult than I thought it would be. Those of you who were here last year certainly remember all sorts of things, but particularly a presence who came up and who referred to one person as Youngblood and another as Dr. Smartmouth. Well, you have heard from Youngblood, and now Dr. Smartmouth gets to present a Lifetime Achievement Award to a woman who is a living legend and indeed a living national treasure. And the word here is living, because while many of us here see Mrs. Chase as a culinary icon, folks in my new hometown of New Orleans see her more often than not coming out of the kitchen at 2301 Orleans Avenue to direct traffic, greet guests, harangue waiters, and generally be the one-woman whirlwind who is the pivot point and the nucleus of Dookie Chase's. Now, Mrs. Chase is more than that. She is a true chef. And you know that the etymology of chef comes from the French chef, as in chef de cuisine, which comes from the Latin caput, meaning head. Mrs. Chase is the head of her kitchen. She is the unofficial, and simply because there is no portfolio title, ambassadress of Creole cooking. But what you may not know is Mrs. Chase is a pillar in the New Orleans art community and a pivot point in the world of African-American affairs in New Orleans. Recently, I was reading Lindy Boggs' autobiography and was absolutely delighted to find not one, but two tributes to Mrs. Chase's generosity and to her factor as a political force in the town of New Orleans. I first met Mrs. Chase, and I'm going here because basically it seems that this particular SFA conference is working on fine-tuning the discursive personal anecdote as a rhetorical trope, so I'm going to add mine. I first met Mrs. Chase in the 70s as the editor, the travel editor for Essence magazine, and I knew of only two things that I wanted to do when I went to New Orleans. One, see a jazz funeral, and two, meet Mrs. Chase, not at the same time, I might add. Although a jazz funeral was planned for the week following my departure when I got back to my real life as a school teacher, I did get to Dookie Chase's, but I didn't meet Mrs. Chase. I know, because I'd have remembered. I only met her many, many years later when, speaking in New Orleans at the Hermann Grima House, they asked, who would I like to have? I replied instantly, you cannot possibly talk about Creole food without having Leah Chase. I was there with my mother. I walked into the garden of the Hermann Grima House and saw this lady. And I said to her, I cannot call you Mrs. Chase. You look too much like my people. And I could never call you Leah because my mama raised me right. But do you mind if I call you Aunt Leah? And so, Aunt Leah, it is my great, great pleasure and absolute honor to present you with a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Southern Foodways Alliance.
Thank you so much, Dr. Smartmouth. You really forgot poor Dr. Jack Daniels. You know, they all say what they have to say. She gets up and she runs her mouth off about everything that was going on. Then he gets up and he gives us this whole spiel on Jack Daniels. We have all kinds of things going on here. But today, I was really proud to be here this weekend. I almost missed it. getting old and senile. But it is wonderful to see this organization, and it's wonderful to have a person like John T. Edge who's worked so hard with this. And I think now we're beginning to gel, to pull everything together, working on an advisory board, a chairman of the board, and just getting the stuff around so you can be able to grow. I just told John, there's so many people that need to come aboard. We have wineries in the South. We have one in Louisiana. We have one in Arkansas. I think there's several others. So they can come aboard and talk and give us some things that we ought to know. We've been as far as the Appalachian, and I found out some, what is that? What is that green I should be cooking? Ramp. Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe you could put ramp with those little escargots. I don't like them anyway. But I don't know about ramp and Dover sole. That takes some to it. But I don't know. We had something today. We really had some fusion cooking today. I mean, yesterday. Yesterday we had lamb. Now in the South, you know, we prayed to the lamb, but we ate it yesterday. We ate it combined with collard greens, mangoes, and cream potatoes. That was quite a mix, and something else sprinkled on the top. Today's the day of stacking. You know, you see how high you can stack, and you stack that food. You can't ever get to the bottom. But anyway, all that's fun. And that is, to me, interesting. I like that. I like to see changes in food. I like to see people combine your food. I'll take your food, put it with mine. And that your food and my food, I think, has to go. Food is for everybody. I can take what you eat and make it my way. You can take what I eat and make it your way. Food is important. Another thing John said about the South that I liked, he said, we talk about everything here. We talk about race. We talk about everything. I like that. Because in the South, we do talk about race. We don't hide from it. We talk about it. And I think that's what we have to do today. People have to talk about issues. You know, you're white, you're afraid to say something because you're called racist. I'm black, I don't want to say anything because I may be called something else. We get to talk, and we have to eat. And we can talk, and we can eat together, and that's what we're going to be all about in this organization. So next year, we're going to grow. We're going to grow. I really like it. I like working with it, and next year, I have things going on in my mind that I will talk to John about doing some other kind of food and just mixing it up pretty good. So be prepared to come next year and eat well. Thank you so much.
I made one error in my presentation. The award was done by Blair Hobbs. It's Portrait of Leah Chase.
Thank you so much. I got another nephew here working with Fritz Frank, and I've known Fritz. Fritz gave me my first pair of pepper pants a few years back, and he said, today, can I call you Aunt Leah like Jessica? I said, okay. So now I have a niece and a nephew.